Welcome to Radical Love Now, the podcast. I'm your host, Bernadette McKee. Our goal here at Radical Love Now is to provide our listeners with educational information on holistic health, spirituality, and sacred activism, which informs, inspires, and empowers, so we can create positive change within ourselves, our communities, and the world. The greatest gift we can give ourselves are the tools that promote a conscious, abundant, and authentic life. So with that, let's get started. Good morning, everybody. This is Bernadette, your host from Radical Love Now. I am like so excited because I've got my friend and colleague, Jen Lovejoy, with me today. Good morning, Jen. How you doing?
Hey, Bernadette. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
It is always a pleasure. Yeah. So we have a great episode topic today on managing your anxiety through embodiment. So with that being said, if people didn't tune into the first podcast or webcast episode, can you share with us a little about what embodiment is and your journey that has gotten you here to this point?
So I am a somatic practitioner. Uh-huh. One of my sort of foundational modality is called SOMA, neuromuscular integration. It's a form of structural integration. It's hands-on work. And through the years of doing that and having the privilege of getting to be with all these different bodies, the body is the best teacher ever. And it actually has sort of opened all of these beautiful mysteries throughout the time that I've gotten to touch so many people. And so in that process, it just teaches me more and more about what it means to live in a body. Mm-hmm. And so you asked, what is embodiment? That's such a good question. I think that for me, what embodiment means is that we're giving permission to whatever is happening, that we have this agility to meet what life brings us, that we are at home and comfortable with our emotions, our sensations, our thoughts, and our way of being, that we can give permission to all of the aspects of ourselves, and that we can really say yes to both the beauty and the chaos of what it is to live in a body, what it is to live on this planet at this time, what it is to to be both like this big etheric being and this tiny little material creature. And how do we allow all of those layers to coincide, and how do we say yes to them in a way that we get to keep finding the creativity and the magic of what it is to be human, and also sometimes the incredible agony and deep sadness and pain and all of those pieces too. Not just the big shiny stuff, but also the deepest darkness. And so I think that it's like just a little journey.
It's a big journey.
So anyway, that's like a little bit about embodiment. I didn't really talk that much about what it. So it's a, and then just to answer the other part of your question about what I do. So over the years in my journey with all of this, I've been finding different ways to be able to say yes to what's here, and that has sort of led down this very organic path to the new modality that we're going to talk about a lot today. And yeah, and that you've so been such a huge part of me discovering as a modality. And so the creation of this modality called embodied presencing. And embodied presencing is about like really reclaiming our native language, which is the language of the body. And I have this really deeply held belief that the body, that each of our bodies holds the blueprint of our own personal evolution. Mm-hmm. And that as we can really deeply remember the language of what it is to be in conversation with our body, we come to land on the planet more. We come to remember that every bit of wisdom that we need is just a few moments away from, you know, it's not even away from us. It's just, we just have to take a few moments to be in contact with it. And really remembering that we can go towards that wisdom that is so unique to each being and really access this deep, deep inner authority that knows what's right for each of us, that knows what's true for each of us, that knows where we're meant to be next and how to listen to where life wants us.
Right, right. And being empowered through our own internal guidance and our
absolutely.
Life. Yeah. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just like a little tiny field that we're playing in here.
Yay. Well, I'm so excited to start this journey with you, Herd, the rebirthing of Radical Love Now, part two. Yeah.
Right. And like, maybe we'll just mention that we've been working together as friends and colleagues and patient and practitioner in all of them, both ways, for many years now.
Yeah. Since what, 2015, I think? Fall of 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been an amazing and exciting journey. And I know for me, for meeting you and being able to experience this work has forever changed my world and is one of the reasons why I was able to do enough work to even be able to bring this thought of having this podcast, you know.
Yeah.
Into fruition. So,
well, thank goodness for that. You're such a gift.
And also too, to rebirth this at a time where the world is going through this great awakening, you know, and there's some incredible beauty to it. And then there's some incredible chaos to it. And so this work is about how do we hold all of that?
Yeah, both at the same time. So, chaos and the beauty.
Yeah. So that's kind of like part of this, of the managing the anxiety. It's about applying it to this time right now. So, So it's like, how are you doing with everything regarding the coronavirus and quarantine, and how are you finding that this work is really helping you through this time?
Well, I will say that like, I've kind of done all of the things, right? But probably most of us have. I mean, I think at the very beginning, it's such a weird and unique situation that at the very beginning, I remember going to the grocery store one day and right, it was, I think even before we had stay at home in place and walking up to get a cart and approaching the building and like dissolving into tears because the intensity of the energy in the building was so enormous.
Right.
The, like the kind of confusion of this, of how weird it felt. And then the sweetness, like there's a sweet little old man came over and sprayed my cart down and wiped it for me. And like it being so deeply touched by like him, maybe even putting himself in danger to keep me safe. Mm-hmm. And I was like walking through the grocery store and just weeping and weeping. And I was like, oh, where are all my tools? I thought I had a lot of tools. Right. And like being so gentle with myself, like, yeah, but you've never been in this situation before. Mm-hmm. None of the people in this building have ever been in a situation like this before. And we need to be easy with ourselves that we don't know what to do. And so there's been for sure that, there's been like confusion. There's been, kind of this weird excitement. That's like, wait a minute, this might be the moment that everything could change.
Right.
So there's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh, this is it. Like maybe this is the thing that we've kind of been preparing for our whole lives.
Right.
And the excitement about people awakening, And the systems getting wobbled and like, what does that mean? And how, what could it mean? And how could we interact with that in a way that we could make some changes in some pretty broken systems?
Exactly.
And then also more lately, I think I've just been in this really deep quiet, this like really zoomed out place that's looking at all of the different things, that's going, there's a lot of different perspectives happening right now. Mm-hmm. Most of them feel like they have one little piece of what's true, and just being in this kind of deep, open place, watching all of it and going, okay, somewhere with all of these different perspectives, there's something that's trying to find its way to clarity. And it's not time to know yet. So I'm just going to hang in this kind of deep, quiet place. And so that's kind of where I am at the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's a lot. that's probably more than you need to know. But I guess I just want people to like go, yeah, like I want to share that, because I think we're all in such a crazy, like, it's all so different. And so I think, I mean, how's it been for you? What is it like?
Well, I know when it first happened, it was like, wow. And I really felt the fear, and it was meeting my fear, but also feeling the collective fear. Cause I would like you, when I would go into a grocery store, I mean, the fear was just like really palpable. Yeah. And then it really turned into kind of like this grief, because when I would be out in public to see how everybody was just like distancing, you know, and not connecting, and the fear, you know, it came to this point of interaction became difference, you know, people not looking at each other. They're just in a hurry to like get in and get out of the store. And so there was this grief, because I'm a person, I love people. I love being out in the world and connecting with people. And so there was a heavy like grief of that. And then the grief of people dying, you know, and then really going in and looking at my, like, gosh, what if I catch this? What if I die? What if one of my loved ones or people that I care about, you know? And just, so I had to meet that fear of death. So at first it was like, there was a lot of fear and a lot of grief. And so one day I went into a meditation, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in and like meet this like coronavirus and just sit with this, you know? Yeah. And as I did that, you know, sat in meditation with my guidance and, you know, the virus and everything, and just held everything in this field of love. What really came up is we're kind of at a place that I know in at least my lifetime, I've never experienced that. Yeah. There's kind of like four fears that are coming up for people. Yeah. And that is the fear of the unknown, the fear of being alone, the fear of financial instability, and the fear of death. And, you know, throughout our lives, it's like one of those is big enough, you know, but for four of them coming at you all at once, it's huge. And so to really sit in this loving compassion for myself and the rest of my planetary brothers and sisters, it was just like, to hold this place. And then it just kind of fell into this place of like, oh, wow, I am being given this gift to really sit in quiet, like, and not have the answer, not to know, and just be. And so I was kind of in this like calm, blissed out space once I could meet my fear and my grief, you know?
Yeah.
And then a few days later, then comes the rage. boom. And then having to meet that, you know? And so it's just been really touching, like, all these different aspects. But each time that I'm really able to meet it, and thank you for, you know, this work, that's the reason why I can meet it this way, and I can zoom out, then I get a larger perspective to be able to see things through multiple lenses, you know?
Yeah.
And so right now for me, it's just really being in this space of, like you kind of said, it's like, there's many threads of truth that are coming in, and that all I can do is hold space and trust that this truth will be shown. And it's giving us the opportunity to really think, like, okay, once reset happens, what do we want our world to look like? What do we want our relationships to look like. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, what I've really come through, you know, through being on social media and seeing the fear, and then if one person believes one thing and another doesn't, that the hate that and the judgment that is just being thrown like back and forth at each other. And it's like, wow, you know, I really want to see, where can we unite? We are all technically in this together. And it's about, how do we meet each other with loving compassion and the respect to hear each other's viewpoints? Mm-hmm. And that none of us really have the answer and none of us really know the truth. And so maybe this is going to give us a new opportunity to heal the divide that we're currently seeing ourselves in. So
yeah. That's where the kind of excitement comes in for me.
Right.
It's like, oh wow. I mean, like, what other, like, this is not even an imaginable event. And like, what other way could you interrupt things so completely that you could actually pause and go, hey, maybe we should do something different.
Exactly.
Yeah. And to, there was something else you said that I, about being, about the truth kind of coming through. And I thought, oh gosh, it's almost like, the truth is still shaping itself. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it's going to look like. Yeah. And it's still in the sort of amorphous, like it's the caterpillar in the cocoon, you know, it's being dissolved and reformed, and we don't know what's going to come out of that cocoon.
Right. And in a way, you know, because I know you and I, we sometimes have different, you know, spiritual perspectives. I was born and raised Catholic. And so, you know, even though I'm very spiritual and I don't align to any particular religion, I still, that thread, you know, mm-hmm. flows through. But so for me, I kind of look at it as like, wow, this is the most ingenious kind of like divine plan, or, you know, creator, whoever, that's actually being interwoven. It's like, wow, maybe all of this had to happen for us to really realize what was important, to really see that in truth, we are all brothers and sisters of this mm-hmm. planet. We are all interrelated. And how can we unite?
Yeah.
So,
and also like things like how resilient the planet is,
right?
Like, how quickly things can change if you just give her a breath. I mean,
that's been amazing. Yeah. It's been
amazing. So beautiful. But, you know, like back to our kind of topic, all of this can be very anxiety producing.
Exactly.
And like, that's also here, right? For all of these different things. And I think we all have really different experiences. I mean, maybe some people are really, really worried about their finances and what's going to happen next with their jobs and all of that. I know that most of the people that I am working with right now are going back and forth between worrying about things, whether it's finances or health or their parents, or and like this kind of beautiful, like, oh my God, this is so amazing that I get to actually just be at home for a little while and not have to rush everywhere. And all, I think most people are feeling a little bit guilty about that part, that they would feel so relieved to having a little rest, a little quiet time, an ability to not have to jump up and kind of do 1,000 transitions a day. Mm-hmm. It's been that's been a deeply, deeply restful for my nervous system to not have to do 1,000 transitions a day. Transitions are always something that's a little bit, you know, it's just, they're full of energy.
Right. So
it's always been a place where I've had to kind of hold myself during transitions so that I knew, oh, it's like, you're okay. You could do it. Right. And it's very quiet way. And at some point you're just kind of doing it, but right. I'm noticing again, like right now, like, wow, to not have to do that, to not have to push my body so hard, to not have to kind of constantly be overriding this little quiet place that would like to be heard. Mm-hmm. That's also been really sweet.
That's very true.
And I think I just want to kind of, one of the things I want in our conversation today is kind of just, well, we're doing it really naturally here, but like, just kind of give permission to all of the things that this is bringing up.
Exactly.
You know, that it's kind of all of it.
And it is.
And we have to kind of just let it be all of it, not and be gentle with ourselves. And we're not supposed to sit around feeling guilty all the time, and we're not, and we're not supposed to not notice that there are beautiful beings leaving the planet, and exactly. We should, all of it.
And being gentle with everyone else too, that we come Absolutely. In contact with, because they're having their own experience with the situation. So
unique and multi-layered and complex. It's like we've just illustrated. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so anything else that you would like to share in regards to the fears that are coming up for people or for yourself that you've noticed that is producing anxiety?
So. I think you're as brilliant. The thing that you said about the four fears, if you're, you know, known being alone, financial instability and death. I think, you know, you're so right about that. There's so much, there really aren't, I mean, gosh, there might be, but those are really some of the deepest fears we can touch. Mm-hmm. And I think that, we've been kind of talking about it, but I think that when you're meeting such deep fear like that, there are a few, I'm just going to feel for a second.
Yeah. Oh, please do.
I think the biggest tool that I'm using and that I'm kind of reminding my clients and friends of right now is that the more we resist what's happening, the greater suffering it causes us. Mm-hmm. And I always love my dorky little consciousness equation that I learned from Shinzen Young, which is pain times resistance equals suffering. And when you look at that little equation, you realize like the pain that's going to happen, we can't change that. Mm-hmm. The suffering, that's so there'll be some number at the end. But the piece that we can work with that's really under our complete control is the resistance. And so how can we not resist what's happening? Mm-hmm. That's a big, big ask right now, because this is big energy and crazy shit that we don't know how to do or even think about or even know how to approach, you know, so it's a big deal mm-hmm. to work with that resistance right now. But, you know, there are a zillion ways every day, even when this isn't happening, that we're sort of saying no to what's happening in front of us. Like I have a chronic pain. I want that to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm feeling sad today. I'm not going to look at that. Uh-huh. I'm in a belief system that, is really agitating. Like, I'm not going to look at that. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And it's like all these ways that we're kind of resisting what's true right now.
Right.
And so I think that one of the biggest things, that can, it seems so counterintuitive that one of the ways to reduce anxiety is to turn towards something that scares you.
What?
It sounds insane.
That sounds totally like counter,
I know. It's completely counter reflex, right? Our reflex when anything is uncomfortable is to turn away from it. And that's so natural. Uh-huh. And so that's one of the reasons that like this work isn't for everyone, because you do have to be a little kamikaze in moments. Right. You have to actually start to retrain your reflex, mm-hmm. your very natural mammalian reflex to turn away from something that's uncomfortable.
Right.
And start to turn towards it and go, hi body, I see you have pain today. Okay. It's okay, you get to be here.
Right.
And usually just that little act of instead of like, no, which kind of keeps inflaming the pain response more and more and more, mm-hmm. just, and it's almost like you can imagine like the more you are turning away from it and running away from it, like the more that gets stretched to way past its capacity. And as soon as you turn towards it, you're like shortening that stretch. And there can be a little bit of ease. And so it's amazing I mean, you know this, right?
Right. Well, as you were talking, I was just like, something just came through of like, yeah, we really need to meet our shadow to truly be able to see and expand our light.
That's for sure. There's only so much light that you can have access to without touching the darkness.
Right.
Yeah. It's limited. And actually, I think it's one of the sort of accidental side effects of the New Age movement is that that New Age movement has so like highlighted the light, mm-hmm. And downplayed the shadow, that people can get really kind of disconnected, right, in that model.
They get ethereal, and ethereal, they lose connection and grounded to what is in being in body.
Being in the body. And I think that awakening is like understanding that we're connected to all things. That's one beautiful part of opening to our nature. Uh-huh. But it's really only one part. Then once that feels really clear to us and really like, yeah, that feels really true, then to take that back down into the physicality. And it's like, we talk about, you know, that New Age talks about ascending. Mm-hmm. And we're actually, or even transcending. And this work is kind of constantly talking about, nope, we're going to descend back into the body. We're going to get closer to the physicality. We're going to allow all that beautiful etheric oneness,
right,
to emanate through this very tiny little mortal material being.
To join above and below.
Yeah, as above, so below, right? Yeah. And that actually, you know, I really believe that the body is this beautiful microcosm of the big universe.
Right.
And I always get so delighted because when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. Uh-huh. I wanted to be out exploring space, whatever. Do you ever see Space Camp? Oh my God. It was like this movie that came out when I was in sixth grade, and it was all about like teenagers going to space, and it was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life to watch this. Anyway, it was like, I want to be an astronaut. I really want to explore space like that. And then as it turns out, I didn't become an astronaut, but I still get to explore like the mystery of the universe every day. But instead of going that way, I go this way, uh-huh. You know, and with other bodies and other beings, I get to go into the universe in this different way. It's not exactly what I thought it would look like, mm-hmm. But it's exactly the same exploration. And this can teach us so much about that. Right. And we've spent so much time in our culture and society making this the bad guy, making our bodies the wrong and sinful and dirty and smelly and all of these things, that it's not okay to be anywhere near that, to even associate with it.
Right. Or to actually feel pain, that the physical, not just so much emotional pain, but even feel the physical pain. You know, it's like, as soon as you feel that pain, it's like, oh, what can I take to make it go away?
Yeah.
And actually it's like, oh, let me meet you and see what you're trying to tell me. What is the wisdom of the body trying to tell me?
That's it, right? I mean, like, instead of recognizing, oh, that's a message. Mm-hmm. That's a message of my body is calling for my attention. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, you know, like right now, of course, I can't work with people hands-on. And so a lot of my hands-on clients are doing Zoom sessions with me right now. Uh-huh. And it's so awesome how much we can make a dent in that pain cycle just by them looking, like, instead of like, stop, I hear you. Instead, like, oh, hi, what is it that you're saying? Well, it's a totally different thing. And it's amazing how quickly you can shift the pain. You can be from a 9 to a 3 in 20 seconds sometimes.
Well, I think it was like probably about 3 weeks in. I don't know if you remember this, but because I had started running just because I have so much energy and processing through. So I started running, you know, and after I started running again, it was like I was having a hip pain, you know, and mm-hmm. you've been working with me for years, you know, with Soma and everything. And I called you. It's like, I really need a session. What am I going to do? You know, and you're like, why don't you try your own work? You know, because I think I said in the first podcast, but I'm a vibrational energetics practitioner. So I work with working with energy and everything. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't even think of that because I was in such a state of like,
Right. That's like, a resistance.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it was so amazing because when I actually, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that is a modality I can use. Hello, like I'm working with clients with that all the time.
Totally. I know we forget the things closest to us.
Right. And so I took that time and I kid you not, 24 hours, it was like, and I was like, it was gone. And so.
So amazing.
Yeah. But it was kind of the vibrational energetics piece and the embodiment piece and bringing them together to like, to really work with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very powerful. And I think it's amazing, you know, like just remembering like that's a message from our body and going, instead of like going, you're making all that noise, stop making that noise. Like that's different than like turning towards like your child who had fallen on the sidewalk and was crying and going, oh, sweetie, what's happening here? Let me get really curious about what's happening. Do we have an injury? Do we like, what are you trying to tell me? and being kind and just turning towards the call. Mm-hmm. That pain is. And that's also true with emotions, you know, like, oh, there's sadness here. Okay. Sadness. I see you. I'm going to sit with you and just let you show me what do you need right now? And almost always 80% of what it needs is just that it doesn't feel so alone.
Right. Right. And I know this is one tool that you taught me over the years, but I really had to take some time to really work with, and that was the surrender. So like for me, like financially, that's a big one for me right now. And so it was like, okay, yep. So what if, like, and just taking my what ifs and surrendering to each one to get to the point of, if I lose everything, like, oh wow, okay, I still have my life, and I still, you know, and that I'll be okay, that I'll just have to start anew. And so, but it was taking and just having to feel into each of those possibilities to get to that point of like just surrendering to what is, you know.
So amazingly powerful. And actually what in the same way, you're doing the same thing that we're talking about, turning towards something that you would typically turn away from.
Right.
And it's amazing. I don't know if you noticed this, maybe you can talk more about it, but like when you turn towards something like that and you approach it with curiosity and like, okay, like maybe that's what's going to happen. And you just let yourself soften to the message that it offers. It often isn't what we think.
Right.
To actually surrender all the way into the conversation with that, it ends up being different than what our mind would have made it into. It actually might even give you some wisdom and some confidence in who you are. And it, I mean, I don't know, did you have any experiences like that?
Well, for me, what I actually got to when I did that is it was falling more and more into resource. And to this understanding that there is something that is holding me, and I truly believe there is something that's holding everyone at this very deep level.
Yeah.
And that it was almost like this message, like it was my guidance of like, we have you, we're holding you, and you're going to be okay, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just about presence the fear. Presence the grief, be allow it to move through you, because when we repress it or deny it, that's when it gets stuck and gets sticky and messy. But just give it permission to be there and to meet it. And when we do that, new perspectives and clarity, awareness are able to come through. And
well, so, I mean, like how gorgeous what you just said is that by surrendering to the worst case scenario, it took you into this understanding that resources got you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so exactly the opposite of what we would have expected, right? The more I go in there, the more I'm sure I'm going to die.
Right.
And if you can kind of keep, like you just so beautifully explained, you keep just surrendering to the next piece, the next, okay, I see the fears here. It's okay. I'm with you. Okay. I see that the terror. Okay. I see that the anger. Okay. I see that the insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. feel with you. It takes you through this gateway. That's the gateway. The gateway of surrendering to the worst case scenario is that it takes you to this incredible, this held confidence in your okayness.
Exactly.
And it's like amazing.
Well, no. And I would kind of like, for people who are listening or watching, I want to explain it, because everybody has kind of comes from different backgrounds and belief systems, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like for me, I really, when I think of resource, my resource is spirit. It's creator. It's the divine, you know, but for somebody else that has a more religious belief to it, that could be God. And so just to be clear that everybody has a comfort level of what they feel comfortable calling resource. But
And for me, actually, I'll just mention mine too in the same place. Cause for me, I don't think I think of space, actually, like the physical space that's around us. Uh-huh. Space is holding me. That life is what's moving me. And so I don't use any of those religious words because they're not my experience. It's not my background. It's not how I came to understand any of this. So even just the idea that literally space is holding me right now, like there's not one single part of my body inside or out. It's holding my cells open and it's holding my physicality. You know, there's no possibility of not being touched by space.
Yeah. And see, that's what I love about you. I have to be perfectly honest. Well, one of the reasons I love you is the whole fact that your ability to hold space for wherever anybody is at, and that we all have different perspectives and we all come from different places, but you can just hold this amazing, beautiful space for people to be able to touch and become aware of their own inner guidance in that way without judgment. You just show up with this huge heart. And so that's what I love. So, and I feel that right back to you with how you perceive things too. And I think that's what makes it so special working with you, is that we can both, like, you know, in the truth of it all, we know love.
Yes.
It's all about.
Kind of all of it. Yeah. Kind of all of it. Under that heading. Radical love.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, because that's really important. And there are going to be listeners out there who watch this that really resonate with how
one of those more.
Yeah. So
I think that's, I think that just feels so important to both of us that everyone gets to have whatever their languaging is around it, but that that's something that we want to give permission to all of those expressions of this same idea that we're kind of all talking about.
Yeah. And in the end, it's all about love. When we just like,
all about love.
Yeah. All the threads lead to love. Yeah.
They do. That's so true. All of the threads, the sadness leads to love. The fear leads to love. I mean, ultimately that's where they all go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love it. Aw.
So, was there anything more you wanted to say about the anxiety? Because I know you've got a little exercise that we're going to do to share with people to help with anxiety if they're in that place.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, feels like this feels like a good time to go into that. I'll just say a few words about it before we start. But so I think that, like I said, that one of the best tools that I know that's gentle and immediate, that you can kind of do all day long, no matter where you are, is to give permission to what's true right now. And so, as we are walking, you know, we're on our walks and somebody, I don't know, a biker goes whizzing by you and you go, oh my gosh, I'm in the cloud of all of their breath. And oh my gosh, is that okay? Or whatever, you know,
like, social distance.
No. Oh. Like, you know, it's just like one of the realities of what we're doing right now. Yeah. It's a moment like that happens. And instead of like making it about them or getting mad, at yourself, cause you forgot your mask or whatever thing that we do usually to kind of resist what just happened, is going like, okay, this is a weird situation, like giving permission to what just happened. this is a weird situation, and not everybody's going to have all the awareness. So he wasn't trying to do something bad to me. He just was riding his bike. That's what's true right now. And I won't always know exactly what to do when I'm in a new situation. It's okay that I don't have my mask right now. And it's okay if I remember that my body actually is strong in so many ways and has gotten me through lots and lots of scenarios that I probably don't even understand how much it's done to keep me healthy all these years. And okay, that's true right now too. And it's okay if I make mistakes in this confusing situation. And it's okay if I wish that didn't happen right now, you know, or I wish that I had done something differently, or I wish he had done something differently. It's okay. That's how I feel right now. Part of me that wishes something different just happened. Okay, you get to be here too. And so we are giving I'll use your word, radical permission to what's happening. It'd be very easy to beat yourself up or scream at the guy or scream at the guy internally or whatever, you know, in that little teeny moment. And instead we're just going, yep, I see that the fear just arose in me. Okay, you get to be here. And I see the part of me that wants to beat myself up right now for not doing it differently. Okay, you get to be here. I see the part of me that's really nervous now that I might get sick. Okay, you get to be here. It's okay. I can be with you. And this incredible kindness with the fact that things are confusing. And I mean, this is just one little moment in our days, right? But I want to really illustrate how many places how many little tiny segments of our moments that we are resisting. Mm-hmm. Because resisting, like being mad at the guy, is one form of resistance. Being mad at myself is another form of resistance. Beating myself up for not doing it differently. Beating myself up, those could be 20 of them, 20 little marks of resistance in our, yeah. And so back to that equation, anytime we can work with softening towards the resistances, softening those resistances, we're going to decrease our end suffering number. Mm-hmm. So the pain, it's like, well, that's how life rolls. The resistance is all the ways that I don't want life to roll that way. And so how can I just keep like meeting? Okay, here's one that I have some control over. I always have control over how I respond to the situation. It's kind of the only thing I have control over. So I'm going to get really good at that.
You're going to get your PhD in that.
Uh-huh. Like 17 PhDs in that. Because it is nonstop forever study.
Right.
Of all the little ways that we kind of want things to be different than they are right now. Right. And so that's one piece of this. So this isn't the exercise yet, but I just want to offer that because I do think it's a really powerful thing to start to be more and more gentle with ourselves and more gentle with the situation, so that we're not constantly like revving up our anxiety by saying no to what's happening.
No, I think that was a beautiful explanation of, yeah, the work and just showing up to resistance.
Yeah. Thank you. And then the other part of it, so that's like giving permission. And then the other part of it is to keep zooming out, which is one of your favorite tools.
At first it wasn't. No, I resisted zooming out.
You did resist zooming out for a long time.
It's amazing how some of the things you resist the most take you home to truth.
Oh my God. That's like no truer statement was ever said. The more you're resisting it, the more likely it is exactly the doorway you should be going through. So zooming out is about like making your perspective bigger and bigger and bigger until you can really see the situation differently. So if you have a pain in your body and you're just, you know, like chronic pain, it's really challenging. Oh my God, it's so tiring. Mm-hmm. Because you just fall into it and into it and into it, and it just twists you in a knot. It's so hard to get out of that cycle. Mm-hmm. And so we'll use it as an example. And so if if you can pull your perspective out and start to feel not just the one place, but recognize that actually there's the one place, mm-hmm. and then surrounding that place, there's actually something. It's a little bit different surrounding it, the border mm-hmm. of it. Like, okay, it's this shape. And actually the border of it's different than the interior of it. Okay, that's a little zoom out. And then actually noticing it, if you zoom out even a little bit past the border, okay, there's space or something different. Okay, maybe it's gooey, but it's not the same, that deep contraction. Okay, that's something. And then like, okay, what's the rest of my body doing? Oh, actually, it almost feels like nothing. Okay, well, nothing is something, that's something. Okay, I'll look at that. Zoomed out a little bit bigger. Can I even feel like my, you know, like my back and my hip, what are they doing? Okay, that zoomed out a little bigger. Okay, this one's got a little thing and that's a little vibrate-y. Okay, those are all things. And so instead of just like diving into this is my identity, this one place, I just blah, 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 blah. The more we can zoom out and notice the bigger landscape, the softer this gets generally, because it's like a cup of salt in here would be really salty,
right?
But a cup of salt in a pond, it totally is virtually not noticeable.
Exactly.
And so we have to make the pond bigger until that cup of salt can be received by a bigger vessel.
Right.
And so the bigger we can make that perspective, then maybe we can feel our whole body and go, oh yeah, that's just one little part in a much bigger landscape. And actually the rest of the landscape, well, there's a little something here and there's a little something there. Okay, but it's not the only thing. It's just one thing.
Right.
And then you get bigger and you go, oh yeah, you know, actually, like, I bet I'm not the only person that has pain like this. Oh, there are other people that are also having pain. And suddenly, because you know what it's like, there's like your heart gets warm. Like, oh wow, other people are doing that too, huh? And we're all suffering. And you know, like the bigger you zoom, the more you get connected to the bigger landscape. And it really changes things, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because I think we were talking earlier, it's like it's going from looking at one thing through one lens.
Yeah.
Through multiple lenses.
Yeah.
And kind of going back to what you were talking about, the walker and the biker scenario. When you use these tools, the beauty of it is if you just keep zooming and zooming and zooming, then it's like you not only have compassion for yourself, but then you have compassion for that person, because you come to this realization is how you're dealing with the situation is your lens, your perspective. But they have one too. And so it's like, oh, well, maybe he was just not being consciously aware, or maybe something happened at home and he was racing to get back. And so he was in his own, you know, contraction, you know? And so then it just gives you the ability to have empathy and compassion for both yourself and another.
Yeah.
Or others.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just enjoying the wind on his face and just forgot for a second.
Exactly.
Or maybe like it just was, you know, like his aliveness was just moving through him and he's just not aware of being, you know, there's so many.
Exactly. There's so many different possibilities of what could be going on. And because we're not that person, we don't know. So
we'll never know. Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautiful. I agree with you. And I think that's the beauty of zooming out, is that it helps us not make our entire personality around one particular contraction.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. It's what allows us to be open. And we were talking earlier and you said the most beautiful thing. You're like, oh, I think awakening's about, what did you say? I haven't wrote it down. Asking, listening, being open, and taking action.
Right. But that's part of it is zooming out. I mean, that's
being open, right?
Right.
And so when it's just so beautiful that we can, but that's part of why, how we be open is by really letting ourselves see the whole landscape. Exactly. And when you open up to see the whole landscape, boy, you get a lot of interesting information that you wouldn't if you stayed tight in your own individual yeah, perspective. Exactly.
And when you take action, when you're zoomed out, you're taking action out of more compassion and love.
And out of your connection to all the things, right? Like you're taking action from this place that sees the whole picture. So it's automatically going to choose things that are more about everyone, not just about you.
Exactly.
But actually that it doesn't, you know, like really when you're zooming out and you've given permission, then you're not going to take action. You know, like many of us empaths and big-hearted folks, we like to... We were happy to take action that suits other people, but we have to override ourselves.
Right.
But if you've already been tending to yourself by giving permission, yes, 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 this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what I'm feeling, then when you're, then you zoom out, then you're giving, then you're taking action. Any action that you take is deeply inclusive of yourself and all of the interconnections that you are part of. And so there's this beautiful integration between the micro and the macro.
All of it.
All of it. All gets to be here.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. So, okay, so should we do the honey let's exercise? Honey.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's share honey with everybody.
Okay. So because this is a time of a lot of anxiety, we talked a bunch about which exercise we wanted to share, but this one is about connecting to the resource. Mm-hmm. And so this one is about recognizing that every moment you're being held. And, so it's a way to be in connection with the beauty of life. And all of the other things we talked about, are beautiful tools, but we wanted to leave you with one where you could just be really, really deliciously connected to resource and things, something that would nourish and feed you. So, okay, so let's see. So if it feels comfortable, then go ahead and close your eyes. And notice that there may be some upward energy right now. Usually mind energy tends to feel really up. And sometimes even if you notice your mind movement, it can even feel kind of spinny. And so that energy, that's life energy. That's your living energy. It's part of you. And so we're just going to imagine right now that energy can kind of be, the thoughts can be sort of transformed back into their original form, which is this beautiful, sparkling aliveness. Right down to their essence, that's what they are. And I always imagine that as this beautiful, golden, almost viscous substance, like warm honey. And as that upward energy starts to transform back into its essential nature, this beautiful golden warm honey, it can start to move down through the top of your head and into all of the nooks and crannies of your skull and your brain. And this is one of the most nourishing sources for the cells. So each of your trillion cells can, as the honey starts to move towards them, can open and suck in all of the nourishment that they wish for. And there may be other parts that are not interested in opening to the honey, and that's okay because the honey is just going to flow right around them. No problem. And so as the honey moves through your skull and nourishes your eyes and your all of the little nooks and crannies of the brain, and each individual cell decides whether it's excited about opening and receiving nourishment or whether it just wants to be skimmed on the outside, it keeps moving downward. and it nourishes and washes the brainstem, which is one of the centers that might be kind of active for us right now because it's about our survival. So we just give it a little bit of time for those cells to decide whether they want to open or if they just need to be washed from the outside. This lovely, warm, golden honey. And then traveling down through the throat and the glands, the thyroid gets washed and the vertebrae of the spine get nourished. Cerebral spinal fluid goes through the spine. All gets to take in the nourishment. And moving down through the neck and throat into the shoulders. Anywhere that's achy might want a little more, or might want to be held by that from the outside by it. And it can drip down the shoulders into the arms, upper arms, and into the elbows and the joint spaces, all the vessels and arms, lower arms, and in between all of the little bones of the wrists and the hands, the fingers. And any extra can just drip right out the fingertips. And then going back up to where the throat meets the chest. Neck meets the chest and the back. And you can pour down through inside and the outside of the rib cage. And an exact perfect viscosity for each of the organs, exactly as they might like it, for the lungs and the heart and all the vessels. And each cell gets to decide individually if they want that nourishment, if they're ready to just open up more to that. And this beautiful shimmering energy moving down through the heart and the lungs and then into the diaphragm. The horizontal planes of the body, and the honey can just slowly seep through that beautiful diaphragm, nourishing all the little parts as it goes. And into the belly, and the abdominal cavity with the liver and the gallbladder and pancreas and all the stomach, all the little places between. The intestines and the muscles, again, the vessels, the fascia, all of it gets to have the nourishment. And as it flows through there, it starts to fill up the pelvic bowl, nourishing sexual organs. And the bones of the pelvis, the sacrum, the tailbone, all the muscles of the pelvic floor, the womb, if you're a woman, and as the pelvic floor and the pelvic bowl get full, that honey can kind of overflow into the hip joints and down into the thighs and legs, down the femurs into the thighs, front and back, inside and outside. And going down towards the knees, really washing the joints of the knees. Knees getting sort of cleansed by the beautiful warm honey. and down through the lower legs, the calves and the shins, bones, muscles, vessels, and into all of the little bones of the ankles and the feet. And all the in-between spaces and all the way out through the toes. Dripping any extra out through the tips of the toes, the bottoms of the feet, back to the earth, which is also holding us. And then zooming out a little bit again so you can feel your whole body. Noticing if there's anywhere in the body that would like just a little bit more of honey. And the honey will come right there, offer its nourishment. And noticing that life is holding you. That each one of your cells is part of the aliveness of being. Each one is its own little world. And knows something about all the living beings that exist in the world. We get to be both self. This individualized being, and be connected to, in this case, these little cells that are connected to trillions of other beings that they're living harmoniously with, for the most part. And this beautiful template shows us what it could be like to live in interconnection. What it could be like to have different perspectives and still work for the common good. All these cells with different jobs and different ways to be. And not just cells, but bacteria. Microbes, most of which are making our biological process isn't possible.
And viruses.
And viruses and yeast. They're actually our friends. They're working so beautifully with our immune system to help us be strong. And this gratitude that all of these beings find a harmony together. That all of these beings are working to keep us strong and healthy, vibrant, remind us what it is to be an individual in this world and also to be a member of a much bigger tribe. Reminding us that this little world is a reflection of the bigger world. And that there are instructions here that we can access as we move back into our lives. So noticing now the back of your body. Finding the inside front of your spine. Noticing your pelvis on the chair, your feet on the floor, wiggling your feet and toes and your fingers a little. Noticing your heart, in your belly. And then as you come up to notice your head, and of course, where we all think the mind lives in the head. Letting yourself start to think about opening your eyes again. Start to think about feeling what's happening in your body and opening to the outside world again. And letting it be both at the same time. Start to take in what's outside, even while you feel what's inside. And here we are again.
Thank you. That was
That was a sweet one. It always comes out sort of different, but it was really fun today. I was like, oh, fun. Yeah, and so I'm delighted that that's recorded. So it's a beautiful one to connect in with daily. Anytime you're feeling kind of disconnected, to just remember, like, we are really, there is a resource, and it's our own aliveness, you know. And for another person, they might say that it's our connection to divine, and another person might say that that's God shimmering in their cells, and whatever the language is. That's always there.
I just see this really grounded, calm, but yet joyful, like, just
yeah. Yay. So sweet. I love it.
Well, thank you for sharing that with all of us.
Yeah. That was a good one. Love it. Yes. What a treat to be able to share that. So I hope it serves people.
I do too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, anything else that you would like to share with everyone before we draw for the close for today?
I think that feels like a good place. Yeah, to end for the day, yeah.
So, just to do a brief close out of the show. So, next week we will be back, and our topic is going to be how to navigate the nervous system. So if you would like to share a little bit about that, or just go with the topic.
I think just a few words. I work with a lot of people who have very sensitive nervous systems, and empaths, and, you know, healers, and also just beings who feel a lot. It felt like it was I'm noticing that the folks who have those more sensitive nervous systems are really interested in some good tools for how to navigate this really, really, really charged time. And so I wanted to just be able to speak to that a little more, but I think that anyone with a nervous system could benefit from that topic. So it's not just for the highly sensitive nervous system folks, but they'll certainly like that. And I think anyone who is interested in just being more in connection with their body will share lots of good tools for
exactly
all those pieces.
Thank you so much for sharing. I so love you and appreciate your work you do in the world. Thank you.
Yes, I love you too and appreciate you and your work and your beautiful gifts and bringing this to life. So
if people would like to reach out to you, can you give us information of how they can connect with you?
Yeah. So my website is Love Joy Embodiment. lovejoyembodiment.com. And my email is jennifer@lovejoyembodiment.com.
Sweet. And if anybody would like to get in contact with me, you can reach me at radicallovenow.com or info@radicallovenow.com. So thank you everybody for joining us today. Again, thank you, Jen.
And thanks, Bernadette.
Look forward to being back in touch with everybody again. You can watch this episode on YouTube at Radical Love Now Nation, or you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio. So yeah, and we will have it on both of our websites too. So anyways, have a wonderful day, everybody. Love to you all.
Bye guys. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
a wrap for our show today. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher Radio. Also, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you have any questions, comments, or recommendations on ideas for future episodes, please contact us at www.radicallovenow.com or info@radicallovenow.com. In deep gratitude to our listeners, volunteers, and donors, let's make radical love happen within ourselves, our communities, and the world, every moment and every day. Until next time, be love, y'all.